Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and beginning in verse 57. And today we're going to be talking about three people and how Jesus related to them about discipleship and what it means to follow Christ. But before we begin, please pray with me. Father, we thank you for this morning that we can be assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, that we've seen wonderful things, even as we've driven to church today, how the fields and the trees and the sky and the clouds and the sun declare your glory day to day and night to night. And Father, we pray that you would help us, that we would see the light of nature, and it would cause us to say, surely the whole earth is full of your glory. And Father, we ask that you'd be with us now as we look to the revelation that you've given us of your Son and how to please you and how that we must believe in the Lord Jesus to be right with you. Father, please be with your people today. Help them to hear and to see. Father, help me as I speak to speak in truth and to speak boldly and freely as you would allow. Be with us, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's begin reading. We'll read 57 to the end of the chapter. And just a comment is in order. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and many of you read from the King James Version and other versions. And I'm not going to debate which one is the best of those. But what I want to assert is our church says it's a secondary issue. We're not going to bicker about what translation to use. Whichever one you feel good about and you like, read it. Read it often. But I'm reading from the English Standard Version, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, that is, to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. So let's go back. 57. A man in Matthew, if this is the same account, Matthew says this man was a scribe. And he told Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Surely this man had seen Jesus with large crowds following him everywhere he went, performing miracles, astounding the so-called scholars with his wisdom and knowledge and authority in the scriptures. And he said, I'll follow that guy wherever he goes. He is a man like no one else. And Jesus, by his answer, remember, Jesus knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And as Jesus is speaking with this and having a conversation with this man, Jesus answers him. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Here comes this man, if you want to speak of seeker-sensitive philosophies. And by the way, we are seeker-sensitive at this church, but not in the way that most would be. According to their philosophy, Jesus' answer is in the wrong tone. Here comes a scribe, right? This guy is knowledgeable in the scriptures. If you want anyone on your side, you want this guy. If you want to convert anyone, the scribe. But Jesus tells him, "You sure you want to follow me, brother? Even wild animals have homes and places to be. Even wild birds, birds of the air." It has a connotation that's not like a domesticated animal. These are wild animals, wild birds. Even wild birds have nests. But me, I sleep on the ground. I have nowhere to lay my head. I don't have a pillow. Here's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, come down to be and dwell among his creation, and yet he sleeps on the ground. And if you look at the context of this, he had just been trying to go to a certain town in Samaria, sent some people ahead to prepare a place for them, and surely the people said, "Well, where are y'all going? Why do y'all need a place to rent? Where are you going?" And they said, "We're on our way to Jerusalem." And the Samaritans said, "We know they don't get along with Jerusalem." They said, "Sorry, it's booked up already. You can't stay here." Here's the King of Kings turned away. And Jesus tells them, your ideas of grandeur in following me are misguided. If you follow me, you might be sleeping on the ground like me. They'll persecute you like me. And does the man understand what following Jesus will cost him? He seems to be very rash and promising a lot. "I'll follow you wherever you go." When I first moved to Cambodia, I met this young man, and he was a smart, well-educated Cambodian, which is somewhat rare these days. And he said to me, after meeting him and interacting with him for about 2 weeks, he said, "I believe in Jesus. Even if all people fall away, I won't. I'll keep coming no matter what." I didn't push him to give me this statement. He said it of his own accord. Well, 2 weeks later, he didn't come to church and has never been to church since, and has rejected all of my, you know, reaching out to him since. He's not believed. Sometimes people make rash statements without considering the cost. And we know the Lord teaches us, consider the cost before you come. Don't be like a man who starts to build a house and he gets halfway through and then he runs out of money. And he says, "Man, that costs a lot more than I thought it was going to cost." And all the neighbors will mock him and say, "Look at him. He can't even finish what he started." Count the cost. Count the cost. Jesus reminds him of that. And by the way, what the man said is not wrong. We should say that. "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you lead, wherever you go." But we need to do that with the right intentions. Having considered the cost already, it seems that this man didn't, because Jesus reminds him of it immediately. And for those that would say, "But don't squelch him. He's a genuine inquirer. He wants to follow Christ." Jesus, we've just learned, he is God. And he knows the intentions and the heart of this man. And he's said rightly, "You need to count the cost, sir. Don't be too rash. You might be sleeping outside like me. You might not have a home. You might be traveling from place to place to place and in an unstable situation." And also, the Son of Man, he said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus calls himself that a lot. And it seems that he's doing that to connect with us. We are man. We are people. Humility, right? A poor, humble man. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Being the Son of God, he should... The natural way to think is he would expect to be received into palaces and given large feasts and banquets. Please borrow my chariots. Take my 12 pair of, you know, Clydesdale horses and go off, whatever it might be, of grandeur. But that's not what Christ says. He became a servant. This is what we need to expect if we're followers of Christ. Not seats of honor and positions of high authority, but becoming a servant. You want to be the best in the kingdom of heaven? Be the last. Serve. Going on, verse 59. To another, he said, that is Jesus, follow me. So the first one, we have a scribe, it seems, who comes to Jesus and says, I'll follow you wherever you go. But in this instance, Jesus tells him, it commands him, follow me. And the man answers, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. The way he called him is similar to how, you remember when he called the disciples? They were fishing. Matthew, the tax collector, follow me. And immediately he followed him. You remember that? Well, it's very similar. Jesus is telling this man, follow me. And what does he answer? He didn't just say, no, I'm not going to follow you. That's not what he said directly, but he wanted to postpone obedience. I'll follow you, but just later. Not right this minute. First let me go bury my father. And was his father dead already? We're unsure exactly what he meant by that comment, but tradition in Israel is the burial happened on the same day of the death. So if he had to go bury his father, what more of an urgency is Christ's answer to him? No, don't delay even one day. I mean, if that's the meaning, if that's what he meant. But probably his father wasn't dead at that moment. Maybe he was sick. Maybe he was close to death. Maybe he was just old and he needed to be caring for his parents. And surely the scriptures teach us that we should care for our parents. But that is no excuse to postpone obedience to Christ. Whatever duties you have, good duties, right responsibilities, they are not an excuse to say, well, I'll do it later, Lord. You know, you've given me these responsibilities. I got to take care of that first. Jesus tells him specifically, let the dead bury the dead. And there's something else as it relates to burials. There's some research that says that after a year, they would remove the bones from wherever they had been buried and place them in a tomb. So it could be maybe his father had actually died and he was waiting the year to remove the bones and put it in a tomb somewhere. So maybe he's telling Jesus, could you wait a year? I got to take care of this. But probably it's an unspecific amount of time. Probably his dad is older and he feels an obligation to his parents. I've seen this many times as it relates to Cambodians. When we preach the gospel, they say, when my parents die, then I'll believe. For me to believe right now, it would crush them. They would be so upset and there'd be bickering and arguing back and forth between our family. And they would say, why are you discarding the faith of your fathers for this strange God? So when they die, then I'll start coming to church. And surely this man Maybe he was in a similar state. His parents, devout Jews. You're going to follow Jesus? No, you're not following Jesus. You're coming with us. And can your mind's eye hear that conversation and the potential problems? And Jesus told us, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And sometimes a man's enemies will be the members of his own house, which is a hard, hard teaching. It truly is. And families are important, and they're important to this church, but they're not as important as your direct relationship to Christ. They are not. They are secondary as it relates to your relationship with Christ. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. And what does Jesus mean by that? The spiritually dead? Whatever he says, what he's saying is, what your answer is not the real reason. Whatever duties you have to do, let somebody else do it. You follow me. And would we think that way, brothers and sisters? If somebody in your family died, and you felt, and God told you, go do this instead. Could you do it? Wouldn't that be so difficult? Wouldn't the rest of your family say, he didn't even come to his own uncle's funeral. He said he had to go preach the gospel somewhere. Can you picture that? And would you be willing to do it? And notice what he answers him. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. There's a connection here between following and proclaiming. Jesus tells him, follow me. And the man has his reasons. Not right now. And Jesus said, you need to go and proclaim the kingdom. Isn't that strange? Or not strange, but it's not the natural thing. You would think he would repeat it. Follow me. But in proclaiming the kingdom, you are following him. This is what followers do. They are about the business that their Lord is about. Right? We're called ambassadors for God. We are representing him. What he is about, we're about. You can't follow and not be an ambassador. That doesn't make sense. If you're a follower, go proclaim the kingdom. And if you say, go where, Brother Bill? I don't know. But wherever it is you're going every day, proclaim the kingdom there. And that might be at racetrack where you get your cup of coffee every day. It might be at your workplace. It might be to your neighbor. Catherine, it might be to the people in your home group, in the homeschool group. Whatever it is, go. Proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus is teaching him the higher duty. Yes, you have duties. This one's higher. The kingdom of God is a higher duty than a funeral. Let the dead bury the dead. You come now. And I'll tell you, don't let anything make you neglect fulfilling your duty to God. Whatever it might be, God would be pleased if you would fulfill your duty to him first. And oftentimes you can do both. You can fulfill your duty to something else in the world, while at the same time fulfilling the higher duty to God. And that's what we would strive to do. Verse 61. Finally, another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. This sounds very familiar to what Elisha told Elijah. Elijah had been hiding out in a cave, and God had told him, what are you doing in here? And I've said this to you before. Elijah thought, I'm the last one on the earth. I've got to preserve my life. There's no one else, Lord. They've killed them all. They all love Baal. And God tells them, it's not true. I have 7,000 people who've not bowed the knee to Baal. And other than that, you need to go find these three guys and they're going to help you. And one of them was Elisha. And when Elijah told him, follow me, Elijah said, first, let me go kiss my father and mother. Let's turn to that. 1 Kings chapter 19. And verse 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. Verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, that is, Elijah said to Elisha, go back, for what have I done to you? And he returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, sacrificed them, and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This sounds, if we go back to our story in Luke, it sounds very similar. And perhaps even this man who responded to Jesus even had that in his mind. First, let me go kiss my father and mother. Then I'll follow you. But Elijah let Elisha do it. But Jesus doesn't let this man do it. His mission is more important than Elijah's. It's an urgent matter. Verse 62, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus gives him sort of a proverb answer. Let me go say goodbye to my family. And Jesus, his answer is, if you've got your mind to follow, don't go home first. They're going to talk to you and tell you all sorts of things. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look back. And by the way, he's not teaching, don't ever talk to your family again. Just follow me. But what he's saying is, the matter is very urgent. Follow me. Be quick to follow. And all that other stuff, it'll work out. When we follow God, when we follow Christ, don't look back. Don't let anything distract you from following Christ and working to advance the gospel. This is how we become true disciples. We follow. We deny ourselves. We take up our cross daily and follow Him. And by the way, think about it as a plower, as a farmer. Could a farmer plow very well if he wasn't looking ahead? What would those rows look like? As Chang says, they would be like a crab walking. You notice that? Crabs very rarely walk in a straight line. They're all over the place. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look back. If you look back, you're not fit to be a plower. And if you don't plow straight, how can the plants have space to grow? How can the seed find the good soil? So we have three guys. The first one, very bold, quick. I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus warns him, count the cost. I want you to come, but count the cost. Don't start following and then say, whoa, this is more than I was willing to pay. I didn't realize that I had to forget all those wicked friends. I didn't realize that I had to start considering other people better than me. I didn't realize that I had to love my enemies and bless those who curse me. That is a hard teaching. You remember Jesus? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, and they respond, this is a hard teaching. Who can hear it? Those whom God has chosen, they'll hear it. He'll put His Spirit in them, as we think of Ezekiel. I'll put my Spirit in them. I'll give them a new heart. This old heart that wants to disobey and is hard as a rock, I'm just going to take it out. I'm going to give them a heart transplant. And this new heart will love me. They will follow me willingly. Count the cost before you come. Don't delay in coming. Don't misunderstand Jesus. Don't delay in coming. Don't make excuses. Come now. But just count the cost. Be sure. And don't postpone obedience. We are very good at coming up with reasons why we can't do this or that. I'm an expert at it. You notice that? If you want to go somewhere, it's only 5 miles down the road. And if you don't want to go, it's 15 miles. Actually, it's 10. But we know how to tweak it just a little to suit our, you know, whatever it is we're trying to accomplish. God knows your hearts. He knows it. You're not going to fool Him by postponing your duty to Him and your obedience. Don't do it. Don't be like this man. First, let me take care of my parents. First, let me take care of my job. First, let me take care of my kids. Do you know there are some people that don't come to church because they say they want their family to have a rest day? We're busy all week, all the way till Sunday. Sunday is the only day we have to rest and relax. I'm not going to get my family up and dressed and get them going to church. They're making an excuse. The duty to be a good father and manage his household well, he says, trumps God's command. Don't neglect gathering together. Gather together. Worship me. Follow me. And you need to think about that too. We all need to think about that. What are the common excuses that we have to God? I can't do it. I'd like to do it, but I'm just so tired. God knows our hearts. He knows if it's true or not. Don't do it. And once you give those things over, don't look back. Don't be like the Jews that said, it would be better if we hadn't left Egypt. The bondage of slavery was better than eating manna every day. At least we had meat. Sometimes a different meal. And they didn't understand the watch care and the love of God in their lives every day. So much as their clothes didn't wear out. If you've ever been around sand, sand is like sandpaper. And it surely blows in the desert. And your clothes would not last long at all. Especially living in tents and in a rough area. God's watch care over them was so great, even He protected the fibers of their garments. They didn't wear out. They lasted. Don't be like them. It'd be better if I could just go back to my old way. No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. And I hope that if you are in that place, that God would restore the joy of your salvation. That you wouldn't be in a state that you wish you could go back to your old life. And that's a danger for all of us. As the dog returns to the vomit, as the pig returns to the mud. Don't do that. Well, that's the message. Count the cost. Don't make excuses. And don't look back. Love God. Follow Him. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for this message. We thank You for the Lord Jesus and how He teaches in a simple and yet a profound way. In ways, Father, that is a challenge to us to obey. Father, please help us to put away all things that would entangle us and keep us from doing what You want. Father, that we would love You, that we would be obedient children. And Father, please help us that we wouldn't look back, that we would plow ahead. We know that this is what fit disciples do. They start to plow and they don't look back. Please help us. Be with us as we eat and as we come back for the afternoon service, Father. We ask that Your Spirit would be among us and that You'd protect us from temptation. And Father, that You'd help us to be at peace with one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.